What are the things that all of us, whatever the particular positions to which we're called, must pursue in order to have maximum usefulness in the cause of Jesus Christ and in the cause of the gospel?
Welcome to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith. And Colin, we continue our study on the Apostle's Apprentice. And, you know, when we look at the Apostle Paul, I mean, here we see this guy who is just gifted. He's bright, intellectual, he's driven. We're talking about Timothy in this series, though. So what's Timothy bringing to the table?
You know, there's a beautiful statement that Paul makes about Timothy in Philippians in chapter 2. He says this, "I have no one else like him who takes a genuine interest in your welfare." That was Timothy's distinctiveness. It wasn't that he had mega gifts. I mean, you couldn't put Timothy alongside the Apostle Paul in terms of sheer ability. But Paul says, I have no one else like him because of the genuine care that he has. Now, we're trying to draw from the scripture how you can become more useful in the service of the Lord Jesus Christ. Where does that begin? What does that look like? I'm reminded, Steve, when I was setting out as a pastor, I sat down with my own pastor and I said, give me your best advice. And what should I be doing? And he said this. He said, ask God for a large heart of love for the people you'll serve. And I took that very seriously. I think it was the most marvelous advice to really care. Lord, expand my heart and give me a deep, deep love for the people that you're calling me to serve. Now, you don't need to be mega gifted for that.
Sure.
Anyone can pray that prayer. And you think about the people who are in your life, the people that God is bringing alongside you. Ask that God will expand your heart to really care about them. You become like Timothy. This is why he was so useful. Not that he was mega gifted, but Paul says, I've no one like him who really cares about the interests of others rather than simply about his own.
Well, the Apostle Paul said that in Philippians chapter 2, and that's where we're going to be today. So if you can, grab a Bible and join us there as we begin the message, Encouragement. Here is Pastor Colin.
Now this morning I want us to take up our series that's called The Apostle's Apprentice, where we're looking at the life of Timothy. And our aim, as you will know if you've been here in past weeks, is that we should improve our usefulness to Jesus Christ, individually and together. How can we be more useful to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? And we're seeing that Timothy was really a model of this, a young person in his 20s who, in the goodness of God, was called into a particular ministry, and we've been following his growth and his developing usefulness. He responded to the call of God. Then he was sent on his first ministry assignment to Thessalonica, and there was great encouragement. The Lord really blessed what he did there, and it was a success. But then if you were here a couple of weeks ago, you may recall that we saw that Timothy was then sent to Corinth, and things didn't go so well there. We identified 10 dysfunctions of the church at Corinth, and it was a tough assignment. And in the end, Timothy was withdrawn by the Apostle Paul, and Paul sent in Titus instead to try and sort out some of the difficulties at Corinth. Now, this wasn't easy for Timothy, and we drew the application that sooner or later all of us will face major disappointments in life. You're given something to do, and it doesn't go so well. And what do we do at that point when you're not able to accomplish what you hoped and you feel that you're staring failure right in the face? Well, Timothy is a wonderful model of how to respond to these passages of life. Instead of allowing this painful experience to destroy his ministry, Timothy found a way to use it to make his ministry more effective. And we saw that the way he did this was that he stood firm in his calling. And alongside that, he drew on the comfort of the Holy Spirit, and he grew in his character. And we saw last time that if we pursue these things, we will increase our usefulness to Jesus Christ. Now, today, as we move on from there and build on it, I want us to see the fruit that came from Timothy's courage at that point in his ministry, because if you roll the story forward a few years, you find that Paul and Timothy are now in Rome. And Paul is in prison. At first he was under house arrest. We read that at the end of the book of Acts. Later he was in prison, as we more usually conceive of that. But while Paul was in prison in Rome, Timothy was free, and so really became the linchpin of Paul's communication with the outside world. Now, if you take your Bible and open at Philippians, we're going to just look at one or two of the New Testament letters here. There are several letters in the New Testament that are sometimes referred to as the prison letters or the prison epistles. These are letters that Paul wrote when he was in prison in Rome. And the thing that they have in common is that they all mention Timothy at the beginning. So if you look at the beginning of Philippians chapter 1 and verse 1, Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus. If you look over to Colossians, which was also written at the same time, Paul, verse 1 of chapter 1, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother. Then we come to Thessalonians, which of course we looked at earlier, that's an earlier letter. Then Timothy and Titus, which we'll look at over these next weeks. And if you turn past them to Philemon, this little letter, that was also written when Paul was in prison in Rome. And it begins with saying, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother. The thing that is distinctive about these letters is that Timothy is the only other person named in the signature at the beginning. So quite clearly, Timothy had become pivotal in Paul's ministry. He was the right-hand man of the apostle to the Gentiles, and Paul can't speak highly enough of him. Now, if you turn back to Philippians chapter 2, we'll take up the story. Paul's in prison in Rome. Timothy's his right-hand man and the key to his communication with the outside world. And he says to the Philippians in chapter 2 and verse 19, I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, that I also may be cheered when I receive news about you. And then this extraordinary statement, I have no one else like him. No one else like him. Who takes a genuine interest in your welfare. Now, by any standards, this is an extraordinary statement. I cannot think of anything like it in the rest of the New Testament. Paul worked with many, many people. Barnabas, Silas, Titus, Aquila, Priscilla. I mean, the list goes on as you go through the New Testament. There was a wide-ranging team of folks who worked with the Apostle Paul. But he quite clearly states here, I have no one else like Timothy. There's no one else amongst all the folks I've worked with who's quite like Timothy, the most useful member of the team. Now, this is fascinating to me because Timothy was not the most gifted member of Paul's team. I mean, that just seems very, very clear from everything that we learn about him. When we come next week, God willing, to the letters that Paul actually wrote to Timothy himself, we'll see there quite clearly Timothy was shy, he was an introvert, he was nervous by disposition, and he didn't have very good physical health. Titus, by contrast, was a much more robust character, which no doubt is why, when things got difficult at Corinth, Timothy was withdrawn and Titus was put in. He was the man for that particular situation. They were different characters. Let me read to you William Hendrickson's comment on these two men. Timothy and Titus, he says, have in common unwavering loyalty to the cause of the gospel and willingness to be sent on difficult missions, high regard for their friend and superior Paul. Yet, in one respect, the two differ. Titus was more of a leader. Timothy is a follower. Titus is the type of man who is not only able to take orders, but also to go ahead at his own initiative. Timothy needs a little prodding. Titus is resourceful, a man of initiative in a good cause. Timothy is cooperative, a man who shows this spirit even when it requires him to do things that run contrary to his natural shyness. Now, clearly, Timothy was not the most obviously gifted member of Paul's team. But Paul says quite definitively and clearly here that he was the most useful. I have, verse 20, no one else like him. So what makes Timothy such an outstanding team member is not the height of his gift, but the depth of his character. Now, I think that is a wonderful encouragement for all of us, because that is something that every one of us can pursue. Growing usefulness in the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ does not depend on stellar giftedness, but of growing character. I have, of all the folks I work with, says Paul, I have no one else like Timothy. No one else. Now, there's a great deal written these days about what it takes to be a leader. But there isn't so much written about what it takes to be a follower. What does it take to be a really great team member? What does it take to be a really great church member? That's a very important question. What kind of members of the body are going to be most useful in the cause of Christ? What are the things that all of us, whatever the particular positions to which we're called, must pursue in order to have maximum usefulness in the cause of Jesus Christ and in the cause of the gospel? Well, Timothy obviously is a great model for us. If the Apostle Paul says about this man, I have no one else like him, then quite clearly, this is the kind of person we ought to be modeling ourselves on and using as an example. And so I want very simply today to take a close look at what made Timothy such a great member of Paul's team that he would say this about him. What made Timothy so useful in the cause of our Lord Jesus Christ, so that we can apply these things to ourselves, so that we too may grow in our usefulness to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ?
All right, we're going to answer that question coming up in just a moment. Pastor Colin's got 3 points, and it's going to be, I think, really helpful and practical as we take a look at Timothy. You're listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith. Our message is called Encouragement, and it is part of a series called The Apostle's Apprentice. And if you miss any of the broadcasts in the series, you can listen with the Open the Bible app. Not only can you listen to this daily radio program, but also our weekly program, find a guide for reading through the Bible in a year, our daily devotional, and more. You'll find the app at your favorite app store, or we'll link you to it through our website. Just come to openthebible.org. Back to the message. Here's Pastor Colin.
I hope you have your Bible open in front of you, Philippians and chapter 2. Just these few verses from verse 19 to 22 will be our focus. Now notice first that Timothy cares more about others than he cares about himself. Why was he so useful? Why was it that Paul didn't have anyone else quite like him? Well, he cares more about others than he cares about himself. Verse 20, I have no one else like him who takes a genuine interest in your welfare. For everyone looks out for his own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. Now remember that Paul is talking here about Christians. In fact, he's talking about his own team. He's talking about who he has. And he says, Timothy is outstanding. And the striking thing about him is that he takes a genuine interest in the welfare of others. And he says here in verse 21 that this is clearly different from most people. And it's important for us to recognize what Paul is saying is that it is different from most Christians. Now, here we have to be really honest with what the scripture is saying and swallow some truth that's maybe a little less comfortable for us to hear, and yet we need it because it's part of what God gives to us. Release from preoccupation with ourselves does not come easily, even for Christians, right? The greatest effect of sin in our lives is that we become supremely interested in ourselves. It's in our DNA. We are naturally absorbed with ourselves, and this is normally expressed through words and actions and thoughts that are about ourselves. We think a great deal about ourselves, and we talk about what we do and what we plan and what we hope and what we feel, and we are interested in ourselves. Self-interest is our natural fallen condition. It is normal. And it is normal even among Christians. Everyone looks out for his own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. And Paul is talking here about reality in the church. It is his experience, and it is his honest assessment. And the truth, therefore, is that we are all a long way from loving our neighbor as ourselves. Right? Now, you look very, very unsure. Let me make it easier for you. I am a long way from loving my neighbor as myself. We are a long way from loving our neighbor as we love ourselves. And if anyone would want to stand up and claim to be an exception to that, the rest of us would like to watch you for 1 month. We really would. Because it's the truth. Now, here's what I think we should draw from that. Praise God that we are not saved by our sanctification, right? If you want that translated and put a little simpler, our sanctification is just the degree to which we are like Jesus Christ. Let me put it this way. If getting into heaven depended on the degree to which you became like Jesus on earth, you wouldn't be in heaven. And neither would I. And frankly, neither would anyone else. In fact, if the only people who entered heaven were those who were consistently and obviously like Jesus on earth, heaven would be empty. So praise God that we are not saved by our sanctification. One day, the full likeness of Jesus will be seen in every believer, but now it's only a kind of a dim reflection. Thank God that we are saved by his mercy to us unworthy Christian sinners, right? Now that's so important for us to get hold of, for it's the very center of the gospel. We are unworthy Christian sinners. And very far from what our Lord Jesus Christ calls us to be, and it is true of every one of us, what we will be, we are not yet. Release from preoccupation with ourselves does not come easily, even among Christians. Now, I sometimes find it helpful to read something from just a different culture and a different point in history. Sometimes if you read something from 100 or a couple of 100 years ago, it just opens your eyes to the fact that some things never change. And I found this very helpful. This is from Robert Rainey, who's writing in the Expositor's Bible, and he's writing about 100 years ago in another part of the world. And this is what he says on this passage. We know Paul's character, his enthusiasm, the magnanimous faith and love with which he counted everything loss in comparison with Christ. And yet we see what he found among the Christians around him. This has been so in every age. The unreasonableness, faint-heartedness, faithlessness of men, and unchristlikeness of Christians have been a matter of experience. And he says this, if our hearts were enlarged to to plan and endeavor more generously for Christ's cause, we will feel this to be a great trial. All large-hearted Christians have to encounter it. Let us be assured that if Christ's work is to be done, we must be prepared not only for opposition in the world, but also for the coldness of many within the church. Now, you see, that was Paul's honest assessment and experience. It's par for the course, he says, after years in ministry, that it is in human nature and even in Christian nature that there is a looking out for our own interests, even in the church, but Timothy is different. I have no one else like him who takes a genuine interest in your welfare. The distinguishing thing about this man is that he really cares about you more than he cares about himself. It's interesting that when Paul writes his marvelous chapter on love, 1 Corinthians in chapter 13, do you remember that he puts in there the statement, love is not self-seeking? And the word that he uses there for self-seeking is exactly the same word as he uses here in verse 21, where he says, everyone looks out, seeks their own interest. Everyone seeks their own interest. But love isn't like that. And Timothy isn't like that either. He cares about you more than he cares about himself. And I don't have anyone else like him. Now, it seems to me, therefore, that what Paul is saying is that if we want to be more useful to the Lord Jesus Christ, this is the path to follow. And it is modeled for us in this guy who was probably just 25 years old at the time. Cared about others more than he cared about himself.
Well, that is one of the three things that made Timothy useful to Christ. And on our next broadcast, we're going to see how he cares about the church more than his own experience, and he cares more about the gospel more than his own comfort. So I hope you'll make it a point to tune in. Our message encouragement is from a series called The Apostles' Apprentice. And if you ever miss a broadcast in the series, you can come and listen online. Our website is openthebible.org. You can stream the program or download an MP3 for free. Again, that's at openthebible.org. Well, Open the Bible is a listener-supported program. We're able to be on this station because of your generosity. And as you give a gift of any amount this month, we want to say thank you by sending you a devotional book that Pastor Colin has written. It's called Waiting for the Lord. And Colin, what is this devotional book about?
Well, it's based on Isaiah and chapter 40, and one of the most marvelous promises in all of the scripture. Those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. Well, if God is going to speak to me about how I can have my strength renewed, I want to listen to what he has to say about that.
Yeah.
And you know, this is for everybody, because Isaiah says, you know, even those who are young will faint and become weary and fall exhausted. I mean, that's true. And I think we begin to feel that, especially at this time of year. You know, there's so much to do. And how am I going to get it all done? And here God speaks to us about how our strength can be renewed. And we want to hear how that happens. And he says it happens as we wait on him. And in this devotional, you'll see how waiting on the Lord actually involves hoping in him, looking to him, and how he gives strength. He actually imparts strength to match the particular challenges that we face at any point in life. So this is a great scripture to soak your mind and your heart in, and especially as we prepare for the celebration of the coming of the Lord at Christmas.
Well, we want to send you a copy of this devotional book. Waiting for the Lord is our way of saying thank you for your financial support this month. You can find out more or give online at openthebible.org or call us at 1-877-673-6365. That's 1-877-OPEN-365, or again, our website is openthebible.org. For Pastor Colin Smith, I'm Steve Hiller. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join us next time. This program is a listener-supported production of Open the Bible. What made Timothy so effective for the Lord? Discover how you can be a Christian who makes an impact next time on Open the Bible.